Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. As we take a glance and look around the NFL, we are 8 weeks through the season, and we get ready to start week 9 coming up a few days from now on Thursday Night Football. And you take a glance, you look around the league as we are about to get ready for week 9 that's going to come your way on Thursday. Lamar Jackson expected to play for the Ravens, I would assume. Who knows, the way that John Harbaugh just lies these days on those injury reports. They'll be going down to Miami, where now you have the red-hot Miami Dolphins with Tua turn the ball over, who didn't really do so up against the Atlanta Falcons. But they crushed the Falcons by a score of 34-10, where Tua was 20 of 26 for 205 yards and 4 passing touchdowns. By the way, before we get into who has the most pressure than the rest of the way in the NFL season through 8 weeks of the season, so from week 9 and on, we didn't talk about it much yesterday. We did talk briefly. Hey, the Falcons lost to the Dolphins and how the Bears got pretty much annihilated by the Ravens and Snoop Huntley. But my oh my. If you're a fan of the Bears, you're a fan of the Falcons. Bears fans, I think you can't get too picky with how you win. And when you're winning 4 games in a row, I don't think you were sitting there saying, wow, this is a great football team. And all momentum isn't away. But maybe when you won 4 in a row, you start to think yourself, this team could be a playoff team. After you lose that way that you did up against a Ravens defense that stinks, and you lose that game, and your brainiac head coach, who's an offensive-minded head coach, and your quarterback can't find a way to beat a lousy Ravens team that was on life support, and now you gave him a little life, that's embarrassing. But the Falcons, I think, is worse. The Ravens, at least, you knew injuries were doing them in. The Dolphins just suck. And Tua had zero confidence. Tua and McDaniel were a joke at the podium. And the Atlanta Falcons, after beating the Buffalo Bills, and they were celebrating like they won the Super Bowl, they lost the 49ers, right? Not the end of the world, but the 49ers are the walking wounded. And then you lose to the Dolphins? And you know what's going to happen? Because the Patriots play the Falcons this week. And I laugh at the Falcons for hiring Raheem Morris over Bill Belichick and Richie McKay and Terry Fontenot. Fontenot's done a solid job assembling a team with a talented roster, but they were afraid they would lose their jobs because Belichick would be coming in and probably play somewhat nice the first year and then fire everybody that he just didn't like. But the Falcons, who lose the last 2 games after basically winning a Super Bowl up against the Bills, they play my Patriots this weekend, and the game is in Foxborough. So I'm kind of looking at that, and I'm saying to myself, isn't this kind of a letdown spot for the Pats, where New England has won 5 in a row, the Falcons, now everyone's looking at them in a different way, and then the Falcons find a way to get the job done? Right, that's my fear this week. And I get, I don't know if Michael Penix is going to play or not. Kirk Cousins is clearly washed. So they didn't have Michael Penix Jr., so could you chalk it up to that? Sure, but with Bijan Robinson and some of those defensive players and the talent you have, and I get it, Kirk Cousins, there's a reason why no one's trading for him. You couldn't find a way to at least make it competitive? That was 17-3 at halftime. So, Stu, should I be afraid of my Patriots losing this weekend to the Atlanta Falcons? Should I be afraid of that?
I think you should be. They're a team, obviously, that has talent. They didn't show it at all this week, obviously, but especially if Penix is back.
He's day-to-day with a knee.
Yeah, that could be a dangerous one. I could see that being a little concerning for you.
And here's the only thing I don't like what I'm seeing of the Patriots. I like a lot what I'm seeing with the Patriots right now. Let me be clear. But everyone's got a nitpick. They get off to some slow starts. They have been sloppy in a lot of these games. They were sloppy early against the Saints. They were sloppy early against Tennessee, sloppy early against Cleveland. The last 3 weeks have not been clean products to start the game. Even the Carolina game, they were sloppy early before they scored like 42 unanswered. So I got to see a cleaner product. The Raiders game, they got off to a decent start, back and forth. The Dolphins game, they got off to a good start. The Steelers game, too many turnovers. Carolina game, slow start early. Buffalo game was back and forth, but there was sloppiness, a lot of fumbles in that one. They got to clean it up. But these next 2 weeks, they play the Falcons and Tampa Bay. They got to split these next two. If they split these next two, and I think it's more likely they beat Atlanta than Tampa Bay, let me be clear. But if they split these next two, they're sitting there at 7-3 through the first 10 games of the season. I'd be a very happy camper at 7-3. If they lose both of these, though, and they're 6-4, ugly. But if they split, they're 7-3, and the remaining schedule will be against the Jets, the Bengals, the Giants, the Bills, the Ravens, the Jets, and the Dolphins. Patriots should be in the playoffs. As long as the quarterback in 10 stays healthy, Drake May, they should be in the playoffs. But anyway, I digress off of my football team parlayed into just, which is a very competent football team, obviously, the New England Patriots. Right now, they'd be the 2 seed in the AFC. But I jump off of that, and you also look at the just gross Bears after what they just did this weekend, the gross Atlanta Falcons. And I will get into some future part of the NFL season in just a bit, and we'll go around the room, and we'll talk about the pressure points when you look at what's transpiring right now in the NFL with some players. But if the playoffs were to start today, just real quickly, I'll give you this. The Colts would have a bye in the AFC. The Patriots would be home as the 2 seed play, and the Chiefs as the 7 seed. The Broncos would be the 3 seed at home up against the Chargers, and you'd have the Steelers and the Bills. So real quickly, Nico, Patriots home against the Chiefs. Who would win that game?
I'm going to go Chiefs.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you. Broncos against the Chargers game would be in Denver.
I'm going to go Denver because it was a very close game in L.A. Now you give Denver the home field advantage.
Steelers and Bills, it would be in Pittsburgh.
Bills.
Yeah, I would agree with you on everything that you just said. All right, NFC Stewie. I'm calling you Stewie a lot today.
You are calling me Stewie,
I don't know
yeah.
why. I guess I'm missing Samter a little bit. Samter usually calls you Stewie. So maybe I'm just like trying to make up from the large presence that we're missing in Michael Samter. Emphasize the word large with Samter, obviously. Jumbo shrimp. Packers would be the bye. The Packers are the bye. Isn't that crazy?
Doesn't sound right.
Right? Eagles would be the 2. Niners would be the 7. Who wins Eagles and Niners?
Eagles.
Tampa Bay would be the 3 in Tampa up against the Rams. 3-6.
That's a good game.
It's a good game indeed.
I think I will go with the Rams based off of the experience with Stafford. I kind of like the Rams in that, even on the road.
I would tend to agree with you. Seahawks, 12th man, welcoming in Mr. Bite Your Kneecaps Off, Dan Lyon and the Detroit Lions.
Have to go with the Lions on that.
Okay. Just looking at the lay of the land. Now, we're getting ready for Week 9 coming up on Thursday. Ravens and Dolphins. Who has the most pressure on them the rest of the way in the NFL? We'll give you 2 names each. You go. Are we going all players here? Is that what we're going to do here? Were you guys considering coaches? I was just considering players.
I was considering coaches, but I wound up going players.
Okay. I'll start off. Josh Allen. You were the MVP last year. We just went through those playoff matchups. The Colts would be the 1. The Patriots would be playing the Chiefs. The Broncos would be playing the Chargers. The Pittsburgh Steelers would be playing the Bills. If not now, when? And while there's a tremendous amount of pressure, yeah, James Cook is a solid running back. Your options throwing the football, though, aren't that great. I saw him in Atlanta, and then clearly they bounced back after the bye week and you were playing the Carolina Panthers, who I can't figure out what the heck the Carolina Panthers are. But if not this year, then when? The AFC is wide open. Like, the NFC is open because there's so many good teams. The AFC is open because I don't think anyone has kind of cemented themselves. I know the Colts are 7-1, but people always look sideways at them. I do think they're the best team in the AFC right now. I would say it's Kansas City. But in terms of who's playing the best, it is the Colts. But I think a lot of people are still looking at people sideways in the AFC where it's like, I don't know. In the NFC, it's, I'm looking sideways because all these teams are really damn good. So if not now, when? That would be my question for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So I will put a ton of pressure on him. We go to Nico. Sweatshirt, by the way. Nico, is that a Barstool sweatshirt?
It is, yes.
He's wearing the Michigan flag that is planted on the O for Ohio State. The Ohio State University.
Which is technically illegal now, apparently, in the state of Ohio.
You had that lame politician bitching and complaining. I'm going to be honest. I do not think Michigan's going to beat Ohio State this year. I want Michigan to beat Ohio State this year. I don't think they will. If Michigan could get one more win up against Ohio State, just one. Ooh, that would be fun.
We didn't think they'd beat them last year.
No, we didn't. But it would be really just because if you're an Ohio State fan, you won the national championship. Then you know that you didn't beat Michigan. So you could pretend like it doesn't matter, but you know it matters. I remember the Ohio State fan reaction after they lost to Michigan. If they end up beating Michigan this year, it's like, okay, you made up for last year with the national championship, and then you beat Michigan this year, and you still have a chance to go win another national championship. But if you win this year, or if you lose this year and you're Ohio State, it's like, that Michigan problem still exists. All right, anyway, though. Nico, who's your player?
Well, speaking of Michigan, I'm headed to the NFC North, and I'm going with J.J. McCarthy, Vikings quarterback. Now, this guy has played in only two of possibly 24 games since he got drafted by the Vikings. And I know injuries aren't his fault. No one's blaming him for that, but we need to see this guy on the field produce at a high level in order for him to actually get viewed as the top 10 pick that he was taken as. Because we saw Sam Darnold have some success last year, more than some success. They won 14 games last year. I know they lost in the wild card round, but it was a very good year for Darnold and the Vikings. And then even Carson Wentz this year wasn't great with what he did in his few games played, but they weren't horrible. So I'm really looking to see McCarthy take that next step now, hopefully staying healthy and being the starter for the foreseeable future.
I know I'm throwing 9,000 questions, but your thought just elicited a different thought. If you could do the first round of the draft over again from 2024, so you had Caleb Williams go 1 to the Bears. You had Jaden Daniels go 2 to the Commanders. Drake May did go 3 to the Patriots. Michael Penix Jr., Big Penix Energy, did go 8th to the Falcons. 10th was J.J. McCarthy because they traded up. Was that who did they trade up? The Giants? Oh, the Jets. That's right. I was thinking it was the did the Bears and the Giants the Giants trade up? What was that for?
In 2021, the Giants traded back. The Bears moved up to 11 to get Justin Fields.
That's what it was. Oh, yeah, with Dave Gettleman. Hog mollies. Hey, I got extra draft picks. So anyway, you had Caleb 1 to the Bears. 2 was Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. 3, Drake May to the Patriots. 8th, Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons. 10th, J.J. McCarthy. And then in at 12th? Yeah, I think it was 12th. Was Bo Nix with the Denver Broncos. If you're the Bears and you could pick all over again, who would you pick?
Jaden Daniels.
Stu?
Drake May.
Okay. Just interesting. Alrighty. Getting back to the topic at hand. I need like ADD today for like sports talk radio. So I'm all over the place. Who has the most pressure than the rest of the way in the NFL through 8 weeks of the season? We'll give you two names each. I gave you Josh Allen. Nico gave you J.J. McCarthy. Stu?
I'm going to stay in the NFC North, and I'm going to go with Jared Goff. I think last year I kind of felt like the Lions missed their window. The two coordinators left, but now they have a healthy Aiden Hutchinson. Defense is a little banged up other than him, but you do have Goff and the running attack that is still healthy in there. A lot of weapons. The Eagles, I know they're 6-2, but I feel like they're kind of taking a little bit of a step back. I don't think I believe in the Niners like I thought I would. I think they have a chance of winning this thing, and they're probably going to have to do it in the next year or two, or they're going to miss their window. So I think Goff needs to kind of be that guy that leads them, obviously, into the playoffs. And then once they get into the playoffs, he needs to have some big performances as the quarterback for them.
Here's the thing. He doesn't need to be the reason why they win. He just can't be the reason why they lose. The other week, when you saw the Lions in a big spot, and you had Jahmyr Gibbs really being the reason, and the defense was solid up against Tampa Bay, because they were on their bye week last week. That was kind of the way that it works. Good defense, serviceable defense, run the ball, Jared Goff, keep you under 30 attempts a game. You know, you may have a turnover, but don't have a crucial turnover. 240 yards, like somewhere around. Just manage the game. Could he have a playoff game where he throws five touchdown passes with those weapons? Absolutely. But you don't need to be the reason why you win. You just can't be the reason why you lose. That's how I would word it. Yeah, Goff's a good one. My next one's Brock Purdy. Got paid a fortune. Is expected to be back this week. Has struggled to stay healthy. I know the pieces around him are not as great as they've been in previous years, but they are paying him a king's ransom now with the new deal that he got. Mac Jones was good enough. Mac Jones was a game manager. Mac Jones was serviceable. Now, you got to go show that you're more than just a system quarterback and that you're actually the franchise quarterback. I think there's a lot at stake for Brock Purdy and a lot of pressure on him in the second half of the season. Nico.
I'm going right back to that 2024 draft class, and we just talked about it. I'm going with Caleb Williams. He was supposed to be the guy you're taking with the number one overall pick, and now here we are sitting here saying that there's two other guys that we'd rather have if you were to redraft if you're the Bears sitting there at one. So I know they had the coaching change. It's the first year with Ben Johnson. It's a lot for a young quarterback to make a transition with, but I'm ready to see Caleb Williams take that next step. I mean, I don't think anyone's sitting here saying that he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. And when you're taken with the number one overall pick, that's an expectation that you should be. So I'm ready to see Caleb Williams take that next step.
Stu?
I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers, and I didn't think the Steelers were going to be any good. I didn't think they were even a playoff team coming into the year, but with the way that the AFC North has played out with, you know, the Ravens getting off to a disastrous start, Lamar being hurt, Joe Burrow being hurt for the Bengals, they're not any good, and obviously the Browns, they stink as well. The Steelers, they should win this AFC North, and if they get into the playoffs, anything that can happen, and you got one, maybe 2 years of his time in Pittsburgh, a chance to win another. I don't think he's going to win another Super Bowl, but a chance to make a deep playoff run. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to get the Steelers into the playoffs and maybe win a game once they get there.
Now, if I had to just give an extra name in the AFC, one in the AFC and then one in the NFC. So our AFC names was just Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers. Our NFC names were Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, J.J. McCarthy, and Caleb Williams. Who would be the AFC name that I would give? I think Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor have already been so special, so it's neither of them. I'm not a big believer in the Jaguars. You know what? I think this one's going to be a little bit funky. I think this one's going to be a little bit funky. I was going to go with Herbert. I was even considering Sean Payton. Even though I think he's done a really good job the last 2 years. I'm going to go with C.J. Stroud. You know, C.J. Stroud, year one was all that. Year two, he regressed individually. But with that being said, they still won a playoff game. They got off to a slow start. They're 3-4. Hasn't played well. I'm just curious. Offense coordinator stinks. Line stinks. I get it. I think there's pressure on C.J. Stroud.
I just want you to know that I originally typed out C.J. Stroud and then erased it and put Caleb Williams. So I'm with you there.
Which is surprising because you hate Ohio State, so you think you would just try to kick Ohio State guy with it then. NFC. So the NFC names that we have are Purdy, Goff, McCarthy, and Caleb. I don't think we're there yet with Daniels because I think the injuries give him a pass, and he had such a great first season. I still don't believe there's a great, even though Dak had a good season up until this past weekend, I still don't think there's a belief in the Cowboys. Goff's already off the board. McCarthy's already off the board. Williams already off the board. Baker, if they win a playoff game, like Baker's having such a good season. There's pressure on Bryce Young. There's pressure on Michael Penix Jr. Darnold, no. Stafford, no. We already gave you Brock. Kyler Murray, you could say so. I'm going to go Jordan. No one said Jordan Love. Go him. It's a team that went out and got Micah Parsons. I got to see if Jordan Love is just a guy or the guy. Because he's been a guy in the NFL. He's been good. But can you be the guy? That's my question. All righty. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Hub. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. Update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief. Next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, news brief time. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Let's start it off with Freddie Freeman on another walk-off home run in the World Series for a second year in a row, a tradition unlike any other.
To have it happen again a year later to hit another walk-off, it's kind of amazing, crazy, and I'm just glad we won. And we're up 2-1, and we got our Shohei on the mound tomorrow.
And then Freddie Freeman says he hopes Shohei Ohtani's game doesn't get overshadowed.
Shohei's game, I hope we don't lose sight of getting on. Our starting pitcher tomorrow got on base 9 times tonight. just incredible. It's just kind of how when you're that hot and you're hitting balls right center, left center, like Shohei was tonight, you just knew he was feeling good. So, I mean, that's the right moves. You don't want Shohei to beat you and let other guys try and beat you after his first four at-bats. And it took a lot longer, but we finally did it.
That's an interesting thing, and it just shows how good of a teammate Freddie Freeman is. So yesterday, Shohei Ohtani hits 2 home runs. The first one was a vicious swing. Oh, that was unbelievable. Then he got walked 5 times and intentionally walked 4 of them. Freddie Freeman hits the walk-off. What's the story today? Like, you look back at the World Series game last night, take out the extra. Like, if you just talk about one player in the Dodgers, you talk about Freeman first. Is that what you're doing, Nico?
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
he just because he ended it.
Yeah, he hit the walk-off home run.
Stu, who do you talk about first?
Big Ohtani, just because of the how many times he got walked and the you know what he did before then. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of national shows today are like, oh, Ohtani got walked 4 times intentionally. He got walked 5 times in the game. Oh, let's outlaw the intentional walk. Or after one time, you know, you can't do it. That's what I think the conversation has been in, like, wow, it's been 18 innings. And, oh, yeah, by the way, then Freddie Freeman in a walk-off home run again. So I don't think it's going to get overshadowed, especially when you play tonight. And the guy that just did all that at the plate is going to be the starting pitcher. Let's go to Dave Roberts, the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, on the Blue Jays constantly walking Shohei Ohtani.
I get it. You know, he's the best player on the planet, and you know he was on the heels of a huge offensive night, and you know John smelled that and wasn't going to let Shohei beat him at all. Obviously, and even when nobody's on base and putting him on to make the other guys beat him, and respect it. And fortunately, we have other guys behind Shohei that can still do some things. And yeah, I mean, a hard-fought game.
And let's get to Mookie Betts. I heard this in the locker room after the game. This was a funny moment.
When you go to bed tonight, put your head on the pillow tonight, what will you think about Shohei? Will you think about Freddie? What jumps out at you?
I'm probably not going to think about another man while I'm in bed.
Fair enough.
So maybe Shohei Ohtani's game is going to get overshadowed because Mookie Betts ain't going to be thinking about him when he was sleeping, a few hours ago. Let's go to Blue Jays manager John Schneider. He says they will continue to walk Shohei Ohtani moving forward.
You know, he had a great game. He's a great player. But I think, after that, you just kind of take the bat out of his hands.
And not to give away secrets, but this is pretty much what we should expect going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how many times they actually let Ohtani genuinely have a chance to hit the baseball, because even when they walked him that other time and it wasn't intentional, they were not giving him any chances to actually hit the baseball. Let's go to Travis Kelce. As the Chiefs last night beat the Commanders on tying the record for most touchdowns in Chiefs history.
In terms of like the historical stuff, man, I'm still looking at the next game and looking at the next catch and trying to get better every single day. So I think I'll look back at it and appreciate it, but you never know.
Let's also hear from Patrick Mahomes. He reflects on his guy, Travis Kelce, tying the record for most touchdowns in Chiefs history.
He is the guy that's been here through the whole thing, been here with Coach Reed the entire time, and he helped set the culture. You know, he helped set the culture of what it means and to play for Coach Reed and to play in Kansas City, and I was able to come in and have that guy to rely on. And so he's breaking all the records now, and he's all about the team, so I want to make sure he gets that, and hopefully we can get another football for him later in the season when he actually breaks the record.
And that's 3 straight victories for the Chiefs. Rashee Rice being back has been monumental for that team, especially in the last 2 games since coming back from the 6-game suspension. And now they do have the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo this weekend at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time on CBS. Patrick Mahomes, though, he's feeling good. He's feeling nice. He says the Chiefs, they're starting to hit their stride.
I think we're getting better and better. You know, we lost some tough games early that we had won in previous years, but it's not like anyone hung their head. They just continue to get better and better, and that's all we have to do is push forward. And whenever the offense, the defense, and the special teams are rolling, it's fun to play football, and it's been fun to be here at Arrowhead doing it, and now we'll get to take it on the road and see if we can do it again.
We go to Cleveland, where the Browns stink. Myles Garrett had 5 sacks, and they got blown out. People are calling for Shedeur Sanders to play. I don't think that's coming anytime soon. Kevin Stefanski was asked straight up why he isn't going to try Shedeur Sanders at quarterback one.
Why wouldn't you, just to see if it does anything to the offense, give him an opportunity to go in there and play?
Yeah, obviously my focus is where we are right now, Mary Kay. That's not my focus.
All right, sir. Let's go to LeSean McCoy. So I guess I must have missed this. Justin Fields admitted to the media that after the game, he was crying on the floor in the closet before the first victory. Here is LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy, on his Speakeasy podcast. Is that the podcast he does with Emmanuel Acho? Right? Surprised that Joy Taylor is on that podcast. That's just low-hanging fruit right there. Here is LeSean McCoy ripping Justin Fields for crying.
Like, I was in his position before, right? You telling me now I ain't have his career at all. It was actually the opposite. And I'm doing all these good things, right?
Oh, my gosh.
No, listen. I'm doing all these good things. And then it came to a point where I got older and, like, hey, coach, I said, you know what? Yeah, I know you got this and that going on. I know you was this good, not good. I know your name was Sean McCoy and all that, but guess what? For us, yeah, we don't want you for that. We want you to be a mentor. You know what I'm saying? How do you think I felt? Listen, and I'm being real with you. I'm crying emotions, but that's what I had to do. I had to suck it up, yo, and get to my job. Because, yo, every time you have a good game, you want to have these emotional break. Like,
oh, man.
It's the NFL we playing at, yo. There's guys that get paid all this money, and a dude beats them out, and they don't get none of it. You don't do that.
Hey, Stu, let me ask you this. The Jets the rest of the season, they got a bye week right now. Win-loss, just give me win-loss. Cleveland, week 10.
Win.
At New England, Thursday night.
Loss.
At Baltimore.
Loss.
Atlanta.
Loss.
Miami.
Win.
At Jacksonville.
Loss.
At the Saints.
I said they win that.
New England.
Loss.
At Buffalo.
Loss.
So that would put them at 4 wins on the season. By the way, you sound like Francesa there.
Loss.
Win.
Win.
Loss.
Win.
Let's get to Lane Kiffin. He ripped Brent Venables for after Ole Miss beat Oklahoma, saying that Oklahoma was actually the better team.
That's an interesting take.
I love him.
That's a hot take. You're the better team. I wouldn't have thought that people watching would say that. You know, I felt that one, we won at their place in weather that as a defensive head coach you would normally wish for, and won by 8 points. And I think we left a lot out there. I think we should have won by a couple scores. So I don't know how he evaluated that game, that they were the better team. I mean, we had way more yards, 21 first downs to 14, and we played, 87 plays of offense, and they had one sack and didn't force any turnovers. That's a interesting take, but whatever he needs to say.
And also following up to road trips
maybe
to Georgia.
Maybe they had the better team last year, too, when we beat them. Sorry.
Yes, sir. Following up on the road against Georgia.
Maybe we had the better team in Oklahoma when we beat them 55-19 in the national championship. Maybe. Maybe we had the better team at Clemson when we beat them 45-40 in the national championship at Alabama. Next question, my bad. You got me okay. On that.
That's a guy. He needs to go to LSU. You want to know why he needs to go to LSU? You could be one of the best coaches in college football at Ole Miss. You go to LSU and you win with that personality, you become the face of the sport. Oh, give me Lane Train. Choo-choo! Going to LSU. All righty, let's hear more from Lane Kiffin. Money won't dictate his decision-making. This was on the Pat McAfee Show on what could happen with his future.
I have never made a decision based off of money, nor will I.
And love that.
Liar.
For a lot of people, they're just like, well, money, and it does this and does that. I've seen too many examples in life where money does not buy happiness. So I am never going to make a decision off of money, nor do I care about it.
So now you could sell me on that. You've never done it. Come on. Hugh Freeze at Auburn. All these coaches getting fired. Your AD hasn't said anything positive about you. What about your job security?
Man, I trust in our administration, President Roberts, John Cohen, and those guys. And, you know, I've been here just short of 3 years, and is the program better than when I got here on the roster? Yes. Are we close? Yes. And I've won everywhere I've been, and I believe with all my heart we're going to win big here.
No, saying that you've got the program to a better spot than where you had it, that's not really much. When Brian Harsin was 6-7 and then 3-5, and the team then got 2 wins under Cadillac Williams. So that put them at 5 wins on the season. You've been 6-7, 5-7, and 4-4. So how much better did you make it? I don't really see the point in retaining Hugh Freeze after this season if I was running the show at Auburn, but I'm not. Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State responds to being brought up in all these job openings.
An Athletic article today speculating of LSU and Penn State. So have you told your agent, don't listen to anybody, don't answer? Do you listen? Where's your role in future openings?
I'm trying to win as many games as I can here.
That is my number one focus, is our players, our football team, everything about us. That's simple. Like, I am so singularly focused on us to win football games, to become a better football team, you know, this season. Like, that's my singular focus.
Okay. So you're focusing on just the task at hand. That's what I kind of expect him to say. Finally, Kenny Dillingham, he makes it clear that college football is a reality TV show.
In this, I told our guys today, you know, we live, I've said it before, in a reality show. Last year, okay, we're the sleeping person, and it's a great story. Wow, what a great twist to the show, right? Awesome. This year, it's put them on a pedestal, and we're going to make somebody fall, and somebody's got to fail. Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's trying to win. Right? Not everybody can win. That's why college football is chaotic and crazy, because everybody expects everybody to go undefeated. Everybody expects everybody to win their conference. It's impossible. It's a math problem that can't possibly be done. It's all what gets clicks, what sells, what creates the best reality show in college football in the market you're in. And it's, to be honest, like Ricky Bobby said it best. Like, you're not first, you're last in this thing. And I think that's why it's such a volatile profession.
I love Kenny Dillingham. He's put on a show like Eli Drinkwitz was put on a show to try to avoid answering the questions. So it's not an easy spot to do. Is he going to be leaving Arizona State at some point? Yes. Will it be this year? That I don't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All righty, wrapping up shop on a Tuesday. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. The football the last 2 weeks, Nico and I were just talking about it. The NFL has been horrible. We were all talking about how maybe significant others prevent us sometimes, or prevent some obstacles on Saturdays or Sundays. Like, oh, I want you to go here. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do this. And you know, I was talking about how I said to my girlfriend, like, this Saturday, don't ask me to do anything. There's too much college football going on. I'm going out Friday for Halloween. Sunday, I guess it's the New York City Marathon, so I've agreed to go to a bar at 4 p.m. Eastern time to watch the 4 o'clock games. But, like, I need Saturday as a Zach Gelb college football day, where I am parking my fat ass on a couch starting at noon, and I will not be off that couch until midnight. All right, that is, I've made that clear, because I am very interested in that Nebraska-USC game, and there's a ton of other great games. You got Georgia and Florida. Like, there's just so many good games this weekend in college football. I don't think Penn State, Ohio State's going to be good, but at least it's two big brands. Vanderbilt, Texas, fun. Miami, SMU, fun. You know, Louisville, Virginia Tech, like, could Virginia Tech play spoiler? Georgia, Florida, the world's largest cocktail party, outdoor cocktail party. Like, there's a Texas Tech, kids. I know Kansas State has been fun, but maybe Kansas State has played spoiler this week. South Carolina, Ole Miss. Like, you got some games this weekend. Oklahoma, Tennessee. Oh, that's a great one at 7:30 p.m. USC, Nebraska, Cincinnati, Utah. Like, there are some good games this weekend. But you look at the NFL. The last 2 weeks, I'm just going to be honest. I'm happy with my team. My team's playing well. I've been bored with the NFL product the last 2 weeks. And you look at the week that we just had. The Chargers blew out the Vikings on Thursday Night Football. Boring game. The Dolphins blew out the Falcons. Surprising, but boring game. Jets, Bengals, fun ending. Two crap teams. Patriots blew out the Browns, 32-13. Eagles blew out the Giants, 38-20. Bills demolished the Panthers, 40-9. Ravens beat up on the Bears, 30-16. Texans, they take care of business against the 49ers, 26-15. Buccaneers smack around the Saints, 23-3. Broncos crushed the Cowboys by 20 points, 44-24. Colts beat the Titans, 38-14. The second half, between the Packers and the Packers outscored the Steelers in the second half, 28-9. Green Bay ended up winning by 10, 35-25. And last night, Mahomes has two interceptions. One goes off Kelsey's hands, and he has two interceptions. It didn't matter. 28-7. Kansas, that was, honestly, this past week of football sucked. I sound like Pat Boyle there for a second. Usually people accuse Pat Boyle of sounding like me. But like, usually when I yell, it's a genuine yell. And that sounds like a fake yell. But it sucked. The best game was Bengals and Jets. Two hit teams. All right? Ay, ay, ay. Like, Nico, last night, now, you're a little stupid here because there was a classic World Series game, but you were not interested in the Monday Night Football game. You told the missus, hey, you could watch whatever you wanted?
Well, so I had all three games on, but usually I put the sports on the big TVs and go from there. But last night I was like, you know, I'm just going to – this Chiefs-Commanders game doesn't interest me. Let's watch a show if you want to watch a show. So we threw the Chiefs on one of the small TVs, yeah. The World Series on the small TVs, and I was like, all right, fine, we could watch a show tonight.
You eventually have to relinquish that remote. I think everyone is – Stu could tell you.
Yep.
It's how you disguise relinquishing the remote. Tuesday night, not much going on. Wednesday night, not much going on. Go ahead. In football, you can't relinquish the remote on Monday, Thursday, Saturdays, and Sundays. You relinquish the remote on a Monday, Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday. It could be a repetitive relinquishing, like, oh, I like a certain show on Monday. Or maybe it's Monday movie night. Little playoff words there. You got to be careful when you relinquish that remote.
See, the issue is... tonight, Tuesdays, is Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
So
is that, wait, is she relinquishing the remote to you on that one, or you're relinquishing the remote to her?
She's going
to
go and watch that with her friends. They all have a watch party. But I wish that was on like a Monday or a Thursday, because that would just work out perfect.
Oh, like, because she would
not be there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's when you got to guilt her. That's when you got to guilt her. Like, I was here Tuesday ready to watch something with your friends, Dancing with the Stars. Is Dancing with the Stars, do you know anyone that's on it this year?
I do not.
Oh, you do not. Stu, you'd be good at Dancing with the Stars.
No, I would not.
I could see you wearing a nice little little shirt and doing all the dance moves. Yeah.
No.
Imagine.
No.
Anyway, we'll wrap things up right here. The Saints are officially going to Tyler Shuck. You know my reaction? Like, do I have much expectations for him? No. Spencer Rattler played poorly. He has not. But when you're not as early of a draft pick, I think people are easily more inclined to just move off of you. And Shuck, they used the second round draft pick. So they're going to him. The Saints could have the first overall pick, but this quarterback draft class, it's not good. But I think what a lot of people are going to use this into, And I know people are going to say, see, another national radio host just trying to bring up Shador Sanders. You know. And everyone like obsessing over that. If you're the Browns, why not go to Shador? You use the third round pick on Dylan Gabriel. Can it really get that much worse? The Browns at some point this season, unless you're just waiting for, you know, Watson to come back, you got to go to Shador, right? You're on a bye week, then you're at the Jets, you got the Ravens, you got the Raiders, you got the 49ers, Tennessee, Chicago, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. You want to say, okay, give him the Jets and Ravens game, that's fine. But if this continues to go the way that it's been, at some point there's going to be a landing spot for Shador Sanders. By the way, the mock draft right now, this is on Tankathon. Mendoza, Fernando Mendoza would be the number one overall pick to the Saints. Dante Moore would be pick two to the Jets. Let's see if they throw any other quarterbacks here in the first round. Lenore Sellers, 18th. This would be to the Cleveland Browns. That was in the Travis Hunter trade where they got that pick. Any other quarterbacks? Nope. No other quarterbacks. Those would be the three quarterbacks. Lenore Sellers, Dante Moore, and Fernando Mendoza. Yeah. Hot take. Not a good year to be a bad team in the NFL if you need a quarterback. Big thanks to Matt Moscona for joining us. Big thanks to Nico. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to Ack. Big thanks to each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow on a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Always follow me Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, and also on TikTok at the Zach Gelb Show. We'll talk later, everybody, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.